Podcast.
We made a podcast.
Welcome back. This is two fanboys in a filthy casual coming back at you again. This is Dennis.
This is Lewis.
This is Harold.
Today is a very special episode. Ever since the first couple of episodes, Lewis and Harold and I have been talking about, you know, we need to bring in people, but unfortunately, we don't have friends.
Right.
And so finally, we were able to kind of
control. Our wives don't count.
Exactly.
They have to be here.
That, we
My
did that as an
girlfriend
episode.
Doesn't count.
Pamela does not count. Okay. So we decided to to reach out and see if anybody would actually be willing to join us. And today, we finally have two people, and two people that have been really close to us in our lives, and two people that we think are fascinating, funny, hilarious, exactly what we need because of the quality of speakers you have in this podcast. So we have two people here, so let's start off to my right over here.
Hi, my name is Mooney. I'm about 5'9", and I live in Los Angeles.
All right.
You're 5'9"?
Just about.
Standing up?
On rollerblades.
Damn it. Okay, I should stop it. And, sir, your name?
Good evening. My name is Alan. I think I'm about 6 feet when I'm barefoot, and yeah, I happen to be an adjunct professor over at CSUN for the Asian American Studies Department. I won't reveal how I happen to know these guys, but that's what I do, that's who I am. Hello.
For those people who are interested in our podcast, we often talk about Filipino American Studies, and every so often, you kind of know where we got it from.
We do kind of hint sometimes that some of us have degrees in Asian American Studies.
Uh-huh.
Albeit for me, it was an accident.
What?
Were you guys more nursing majors?
My sister.
Oh, okay.
She's Filipino.
Well, today we have Alan and we have Mooney that's going to be joining us. And, you know, we've been trying to figure out what topic can we bring in, you know. They're experts in different things, in history, in smoking.
Not that kind of meat.
No. Yeah. So we decided, let's go something basic. This is, a superhero comic book type of podcast. So we're going to go with exactly that. We're going to go with different heroes and different villains. Now, of course, we do have favorite villains, like the most iconic villains that we have. Like, give me a couple of iconic villains that you guys can think of.
Off the bat, like Darth Vader and Joker. Are
right.
You know, if you're saying Mount Rushmore of villains, like everyone's going to say like those are the two.
I thought you were saying the villains, the people on Mount Rushmore were the villains.
Yeah, like, whoa, hot take.
depends
which Cal State Northridge professor you ask.
That's a good question, because like I remember AFI, the American Film Institute, had their list of the greatest heroes and villains, and I forgot when the episode aired, but their number one was actually Hannibal Lecter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Darth Vader was actually number two.
I think anybody involved with the film The Arrival is a villain, in my opinion.
Writer, director. Yeah.
Well, director is good, but I don't know. The whole thing is a big crap show.
To be honest with you, I was going to make a bet earlier on if The Arrival was going
to
come out.
You knew.
So shout out to anybody, if you know anybody there that was in charge of Arrival.
For the record, I love that movie, but I do not blame my friends for this. Like it.
Explain to me. Explain to me this: an advanced civilization can come in massive, like flying objects, come to Earth,
mm-hmm.
and then have this really advanced circular, like logic communication that
yeah.
they can touch, and they can't figure out how to communicate with a people with a 26 letter alphabet. Come on now, dude.
So Independence Day.
But a Mac. A Mac.
Oh,
can communicate.
There you go.
Right. So wow, we're going all over the place.
Kind of trying to rein in the topic over here.
villains are in.
As we were talking about, we were talking about villains and heroes, but not necessarily the traditional ones. And we asked everybody to come up with villains and heroes that we personally feel that are, you know, amazing, are intriguing.
Maybe yeah. the ones that we connect to personally for what, either anecdotally, or maybe there's something in their storyline or in their histories that made you say, you know what, this hero is my hero, or this villain speaks to me, or I empathize with this bad guy.
Exactly. Very
so I really look forward to hearing what the three fanboys have to say, and especially our guests. So I'm really excited that they came to join us. We really value their history. They've been in fandoms for a really long time. So
in different iterations.
Yeah, in the different iterations, different, you know.
It's quite upset there was no mention of Different Strokes during this.
Oh, I that was on my list, but then
okay, so I'm cutting out Mr. Drummond as my hero. Thank you, Moody. Thank you very much.
And no happy days, thank you guys.
So let's start off with Harold to kind of wet our whistle, and then we'll go around.
10-5.
My first choice, and I don't know if I'm hoping Dennis doesn't pick this too, because I know this is something that's near and dear to his heart, but my first choice from one of my favorite heroes is Inigo Montoya from Princess Bride.
Good call.
Mainly because, technically he does start out in kind of the villain role,
mm-hmm.
where he
introduces him
as a subservient, working on the other side, but at the same time he meets the Man in Black, gets to find out who he is, gets bested by him, and then we find out what his true story is while they're dueling at the same time, like in the intermediate times. So you find out his story, you find out why exactly he turned to the dark side, the enemy, but why he's actually technically a villain in the beginning of the movie, but throughout the whole rest of the story, it's not even the story about Wesley anymore, it becomes the story of Inigo Montoya.
Right.
Where it's his vengeance that is driving the whole plot of the movie, and it takes from him becoming the initial bad guy, turning into the end hero, where he becomes the most iconic character of that movie. Where, you know, everybody else, they have their moments of shine, but when you ask people if they've ever seen The Princess Bride, that is the quote that always comes to me.
Right, yeah.
He is my initial choice for one of my favorite heroes.
Not anybody like a peanut?
I can't do it. You are the giant.
Finally, okay. Alan, let's start with you, or let's continue with you.
Heroes?
Yes, heroes. Yes.
Okay, well, my answer is kind of predictable. I was hoping to kind of hear your answers first.
Okay, well,
so
let's go to Lewis.
Sure, I got like a whole thing.
Gotcha.
Let's go with you guys first.
No worries. Okay, so I'm going to go with a personal favorite. I think we talked about it already. I'm the only one in this fandom, but I'm going to choose the Doctor from the Doctor Who series.
Is it Dr. Boo?
Let me try to
Which
be
one?
A little bit. Exactly, I was going to say, I'm going to be a little bit more specific because I know.
69th Doctor?
We're only on the 13th. God. Oh, wait a second. That's
just
a little
bit.
Are any of you Whovians aside from
us? Yep. I get many a side eye from these guys every time I try to bring them.
Yeah.
He's like, did anybody see the new Matt Smith? No? Okay, never mind.
Look, so I'm far from a Whovian myself, but the stuff I've seen I do like. I appreciate it.
Thank
so.
You. No, see, it's I'm glad we had him over. Thank you. And he's a professor.
So he must know things.
No. That's not how it works, guys.
Alan's audition is going
great. Oh my god.
Stuff I don't know outweighs whatever the hell I think I know. Trust me.
So for a lot of the folks that don't know, so the Doctor is basically in the science fiction series, the Doctor Who.
Yeah.
He is an alien who comes to Earth through various iterations. One of my favorites is the Matt Smith version of the Doctor. He's very quirky. Like I mentioned, he's an alien who looks human, but he does a lot of good deeds.
But isn't he technically the same person?
He's
but different genders and everything?
He goes
so how does he have different characteristics?
Well, it depends on the actor who's playing him. Like, they have the same memory.
So you're saying that they're not able to actually, like, cast anybody that has the same characteristics as everybody else, and so
it has to be a different character.
Yeah. You don't.
So it's not the same person, really.
No, it's not. But like it's saying.
So,
who's your favorite captain on Star Trek?
That's different. It's
yes,
different.
No, but it's like captain on
that's
Enterprise.
Like look, that's like captain. That's like you get.
So Riker or Picard?
So
are you gonna ask me Matt Smith
what is a captain and the other one is
it's a title, right? The Doctor is a name of the alien after he resurrects.
I literally have no idea what that character is supposed to represent, so this is the most information
I've ever heard. Yeah, likewise. You know, we're uninitiated in the Whovian world.
So, for me, like, a lot of the... So he is still vulnerable. I think part of what really appeals to me, for him at least, is that he plays a character with infinite, or, you know, a good amount of knowledge, a great amount of knowledge, almost to the vein of Batman having been prepped, you know, having infinite prep and infinite resources, but he beats a lot of these aliens, a lot of the problems. He outwits and outthinks a lot of these. He doesn't physically try to beat things or push things back. He uses his wits, he uses his charisma, and he uses whatever is available to him to win the day. So that's part of why I really like Matt Smith's version of the Doctor.
So, since Lewis already kind of talked about Star Trek, I'll kind of go along with it. Not necessarily Picard or, I was going to say Nimoy, but never mind. Shatner. We're going to go with Jason Naismith. I think that's how you pronounce it. One of my favorite movies, Galaxy Quest.
It was
Tim Allen acting as if he was William Shatner, but still being Tim Allen.
Yeah.
It was amazing that, especially for Trekkies like me who grew up, watching, the original Star Trek going into Next Generation and all those things. I was telling the boys one time where I was in a movie theater, and I was the only person out of like maybe 300-400 people that was laughing. And every single time, I was like giggling at every single moment, looking around going, why the hell can't you figure this out? This is great.
Is the rolling necessary? Yes, necessary.
Not only is it a parody of William Shatner, it actually, the character itself, it has such a great great storyline. Well, actor who basically has nothing else, all of a sudden has a chance to be able to prove to himself and to everybody else that he's actually worth something. So for me, that would be my first hero.
Props too for Galaxy Quest, because I think that was one of the first movies to make fun of like the convention culture.
I know
it's kind of timely because we're recording this over Comic-Con weekend. I think that was like really ahead of its time. Yeah, like what Dennis is saying, I wouldn't be surprised. Actually, if you show that movie, if they made that movie now, do you think more people will get the jokes? Because of like, I mean, Comic-Con is selling out every year, and even all these smaller conventions are popping up, and so science fiction is like, it now. So do you think it would probably be more popular nowadays if they remade it, or if they made it now?
No thanks to Chris Pine, unfortunately.
George Takei called it the greatest documentary ever made.
Yeah, that's right.
He did. Well,
okay,
since you guys are talking about the Doctor and whatever, what's the
Commander.
Title? Commander. I will stay in the military zone here. We're talking about heroes here, definitive heroes, heroes that I think maybe get forgotten and things. I'm going to talk about a military man who, outer space and sci-fi.
Ah, damn, never mind. Okay.
Right. Led a group of people and turned evil people into good without firing a single shot. And that man is Captain EO.
He is a great person to have a ride, named after him.
Look, man, like, if you couldn't, like, if you were in the 80s, even in, like...
Yeah, that's a Coppola movie, man.
You could have sat in line, or stood in line for Space Mountain. No, you stood in line for Captain EO.
Yeah.
It had air conditioning. It's George Lucas. Right, it's more cooler.
Yeah.
Right. And then, I mean, it was cool. Everything about it makes no sense, but it's so cool. Because, first of all, it's the King of Pop. It's Michael Jackson.
Yes.
He's coming in doing the Michael Jackson thing. And then you're just like, okay, so what's he going to do? Is he going to fire a shot? No, he doesn't fire a shot. He's like, I'm going to make you guys good by music and dance. And then he makes this ugly Spider Woman into Angelica Houston. Yeah. So, it's quite amazing. And, like, I don't know. Here, you put Captain EO against Batman. Captain EO's going to make Batman into some white, tight-fitting stuff with some pop-lock moves, man. That's how good Captain EO is.
So, real quick, we often talk about this show is called Two Fanboys and the Filthy Casual. I got to tell you, I've never... been to that ride. I have
really?
No idea who Captain EO is.
Oh, really? Oh,
so
okay.
There you go.
It was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids afterwards.
No, I
no.
saw...
Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Oh, sorry, yeah, sorry.
I saw the Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. I actually watched... I actually went on that ride. Captain
it's
EO
on YouTube.
It.
But it's not the same as being in
the
movie.
No, no, you're right. Exactly. You gotta cross your ID and all.
Cross your ID. The moment when he's got the everybody and then he's like charging the screen and you're like, come on, Michael! Come on! Come on, Michael! Turn them on, the robots, the pop lock.
Okay.
And then you see some of the extras from Breaking in there. It's awesome, dude.
Okay, Alan, let's start with, now that you've had a taste of what everybody else has, let's start with your first one.
So we're on the topic of heroes, Ten right?
Five. Yep, still on heroes.
Well, as I recall, you wanted us to talk about like the, you know, narrow things down to like three iconic heroes, three iconic villains, and so forth. Just to cut to the chase with the heroes, I mean, speaking as an historian who's had to like write about the history of comics and stuff, well, you know, hey, Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman pretty much planted the flag and changed the world. But in terms of like my offbeat kind of deep cuts pick, we could talk about Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman later. But like, I really dig the Christian Ritter's Jessica Jones.
Okay, yeah.
That was like, oh man, that's like the next level of storytelling with comic book properties. Now, mind you, like a lot of people, I've never read a Jessica Jones comic. I don't think I've even read an Iron Man comic, but I love these characters because of how they've, you know, manifested in recent culture. And what I think is interesting about Jessica Jones is like she is the way she's portrayed by Kristen Ritter. She's so much a portrait of our culture now. I think that's what's awesome about the greatest heroes. They always capture the essence of their time, you know. And I don't know how long the Jessica Jones character has existed. But in terms of the two Marvel shows, it's so much a product of its time in really like edgy, refreshing ways. I think our culture now, there's a lot more emphasis on introversion, and there's a lot more emphasis or consciousness of issues like mental illness and addiction and PTSD.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's Jessica Jones
that,
in a nutshell.
Yeah, that, how they pulled it off was so... Yeah. It towed the line so dangerously, like... It could be misrepresentation if it done just a nuance too much one way or another. But the way that they figured that out, I agree. I totally agree how she pulled it off.
Did you read like? Did you even go back and try to read the original, the Alias?
No,
comics?
Not even. Yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, because that's when F was
the
first
Alias
turned on.
Jessica Jones comics.
Yeah. That, it was like when Marvel was trying to do like an adult line called Marvel
right,
Max.
Yeah.
And Alias was
okay.
the first title.
That makes sense.
And so it's interesting because that's when, you know, those stories, the one with the Netflix Marvel universe minus Iron Fist.
No comment.
Yeah, I mean, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Luke Cage were all...
I love those
in,
shows.
I think, the early, the mid-2000s, that's like when Bendis was writing for Daredevil, that era, that's where they're taking this material from. So if you ever have a chance, go look up
the Daredevils.
Go look up Alias. Look it up. It's really good.
It's funny that Mooney kind of mentioned it because Mooney was actually the person that introduced me to the comic, the Alias. And when I read Alias, I thought it was a really great comic book. I thought it was amazing. When I found out that Jessica Jones was going to come in and they were going to kind of redo the whole thing, I was excited. After I met the Purple Man, I kid you not, I stopped.
Oh.
I stopped watching because it disturbed me so much. The imagery, the way everything was. Like, you know, I've talked about it in the past where I have a problem with, like, you know, with movies, TV shows, that with uncomfortability. After watching, I think it was the second episode.
Yeah, Kilgrave.
Yeah.
I
felt so uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I sat down, I stopped, and I looked at my wife. I was like, okay, I got to go watch Daredevil again.
Well, but that's the thing. This is when you can do good stuff with, like, quote-unquote superhero storytelling, when you can tell a story and not... you know, be so direct about it, because Jessica Jones is essentially a rape survivor.
Yeah,
she was mentally essentially raped by this person,
like
and now she's dealing with it. She wasn't physically so, but I think that's, I'm assuming that's what Kristen Ritter is drawing from. Like, I'm a victim. I'm dealing with it. And that's the beauty about it, you know?
That is actually another thing that pulled me in is the performance of Kristen Ritter. I cannot imagine anyone else in that role. And if you actually watch Kristen Ritter in interviews, she's the complete opposite of Jessica Jones. She's so bouncy and bubbly.
Because she had a sitcom before this show.
Yeah. I was totally surprised.
Yeah, she was on Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. A totally underrated comedy that we've never really talked about, but that comedy is awesome.
Okay, we'll note that for another podcast.
That's on Netflix. You should watch it.
And also, you know, this is kind of jumping ahead. I know we talked about some of our choices for villains earlier. We mentioned our predictable choices, but Kilgrave on season one, that definitely would make a list of oh my god, some of the most amazing goddamn villains.
For the record, that's David Tennant. He was a doctor from Doctor Who.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm letting you know.
Interestingly enough, not your favorite one.
No.
It's a different character.
It's terrifying.
Which is great, because he played a very nuanced doctor, and then he plays a horrible, horrible man as Kilgrave.
By nuanced, you mean nobody remembers?
No, I mean he's English.
Okay,
he's regular British.
Okay, Harold,
so he's aloof. My second choice, and I love sticking to movies, making it two movies, but my favorite, and this is kind of weird to say, not weird, but one of my favorite heroes growing up, still kind of a hero of mine, is Mikey Walsh from The Goonies.
Oh, good call. Good call.
Like I mentioned before, I think, with the podcast, is I grew up with a group of, kids the same age, and we would always try to do different adventures every day, and like I said, there was always one kid who was more Asian than the rest of us. There was another kid who was talking more than the rest of us. And there's always the chubby kid, which was me, so they always made me chunk. But Mikey was always that leader. And it's not so much the storyline of the Fratellis being villains per se, but it's him leading a bunch of his peers towards that one goal, into saving a whole town.
Yeah.
And it's not even just his house anymore, it's the whole town.
Right, yeah.
They're not the Astorians, they're the Goonies. They're just for that, at the Goondocks in particular. And
Goondocks?
Yeah, that's what it's called. That's why they're the Goonies. his whole, my whole life has been achieved. He is a miniature Indiana Jones. And, ironically enough, he does have Shorty with him.
Yeah, Shorty.
All the time. But, that was my particular style of life, where I wanted to be some kind of adventurer, and I wanted to lead a bunch of my friends towards, saving one particular thing. But it never happened. But every adventure that I ever went on from, as a child, going camping, running around and everything, was towards the goal of trying to be the leader of the Goonies. So
I'm going to continue on with my movie, since Harold kind of jumped on it. Mooney was kind of talking about, a military person and everything. I was praying to God, please God, let Mooney name the one I have, but he didn't. The character I have was played by Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm going with Major Payne.
Oh, Major Payne, okay.
Major Payne! Did you hear me?
No.
Because I was thinking of Blank Man.
No.
Yeah, I was
There's three. There's three you can pick from here. It's No Money, Major Pain, and that's it. There's nothing else.
Blank Man. on this podcast, I always talk about how every time there's a Rocky movie, I have to watch it. Top Gun, I have to watch it. Major Payne, for some reason, one of those things where if I see a portion of it, I have to watch it until, Major Payne decides to leave and, his boys have to try to win the competition by himself. But, there's something about that movie where, here's this badass that falls in love with children, falls in love with being a family man, but at the same time being the crazy, a person that he is. Every so often somebody tells me that they're in pain, oh, something's hurting, and I always ask them, I always tell them, give me your finger. It's always the very same thing. And they're like, why? And I was like, have you ever watched Major Pain? And I was telling them, if they said it, go watch it. It's going to change your life.
You know the best cameo in that movie?
What?
Bam Bam Bigelow. Because every time he's like, every time he comes out, I'm like, oh man, here comes Bam Bam Bigelow. Gets kicked in the head one time like he's Crow Cop and it's over.
Very nice. Oh, okay, so for my so when I was coming up with my list, I kind of wanted to pick a hero from each of the kind of the different mediums. So for my next one, I'm gonna go animated.
Oh, okay.
And one of my personal favorite heroes, just for the sake of his story and his development, would be Aang from.
Well, depends if you want to do the movie or Aang.
But my canon is Aang from the last Airbender cartoon from Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. So this is the story of. Basically, a survivor who, more or less, survives a Holocaust of his people, and he's literally the last of his tribe.
Captain America.
What? Captain what?
Was he frozen?
Oh, yes, yes, he did. He did Captain America
for 100 years.
For 100 years, and in a.
What movie are we talking about?
The
oh, sorry.
Aang. So it's just a personal favorite of mine because, like, in the three seasons that they had this show, it was such a great like character study from the beginning, from being like a boy who was lost, who didn't want to be the hero, to all the way to the end where he's able to master his abilities, be the leader that everybody wanted him to be, and more or less have a happy ending. I know it sounds cliche, but in modern storytelling and a lot of the genre storytelling, the happy endings kind of come with a price. And I like how in this one... happy endings do come with a price.
Yeah. Like $40.
Oh, sorry, what happened?
Where are you going? 40? Is that the Valley break?
The guitar was like 12, man.
iTunes censors, I apologize.
So that's one of my personal favorites. So let's go to Moon.
So, interestingly enough, that's Harold's personal favorite too.
Yeah.
Especially
Speaking of heroes, there's a man on this planet who says he wants to be our hero. I feel that we should honor him and mention him. He's a man who can kiss away our pain. I'm talking about Enrique Iglesias. Because
hold on. We gotta stop for everybody. Focus and try to figure this out. Okay,
I think it never. Moon, continue.
He said he could be our hero, and I think he can. I mean, I think he can. His music. He comes from royal lineage. He is the product of all the girls that Julio Iglesias has loved before. And let's just face it.
At least one.
The Filipino one.
He has Filipino lineage.
Spanish Filipino.
And just remember this about Enrique Iglesias. You can run, you can hide, but you cannot escape his love. That, my friends, is a hero.
That's your hero status right there, yeah.
Enrique Iglesias. Yes. Hero.
Which, by the way, whoever came up with inviting Mooney into this podcast, cheers. Just like what the doctor was saying.
Cheering yourself?
I don't know.
Wasn't it your idea?
You're toasting yourself. All right. That's okay.
Are we going to stop at two selections? Because I got more.
Yeah.
I have to stop at two.
All right. I'm just kidding. I'm not Enrique. So, I mean, I'm, serious pick. I just wanted to make sure we honored Enrique Iglesias. Serious pick about the second hero.
You anybody like? There that knows Enrique Iglesias? Call us.
He has a song called I Can Be Your Hero.
No, I know. Yeah, but dude. Imagine if he performs that song on our podcast.
Yeah, dude. Well, anyway. So my real pick about heroes.
I thought I was actually impressed with that pick.
Oh, that was pretty good. Oh,
that was pretty good.
Okay, but my real pick was Ellen Ripley from Aliens.
Good call.
Yeah. Just thinking about all the movies that I really liked, and then if you think about Ellen Ripley's journey, like
absolutely
not Alien, but Aliens, you know, like she was a space trucker, and then now she's just pushed into these like scenarios where she's essentially fighting for her life and fighting to survive. She's a strong character. It doesn't matter if it's man or woman. It didn't matter. She was just like when stuff went down, the trained military man around her lost it. She's like. She took charge. She knew she was in a dire situation. She was like, show me how to use the gun. I need to learn how to use it. Let me be a helper on it. I'm going to be a power lord. She just was a person that's like, I can help. I'm going to make stuff happen. I'm going to save this kid. And there was an interesting video on YouTube about how a person contrasted what's her name? Bryce Dallas Howard's character from
Jurassic World.
From Jurassic World to Ripley, and how she exemplified zero leadership capabilities, and then Ripley is like just on it all the time, and it's just like that. Her journey is the hero's journey. Like, yeah. I'm pushed into stuff, and I'm gonna overcome.
Pure Joseph Campbell.
And I'm just like, yeah. I mean, to the point where you can't have an Aliens film without Sigourney Weaver, without Ellen Ripley. Mm-hmm. But let's not talk about Ellen Ripley in Alien Resurrection. Alien 3 is...
Well, technically, I wasn't her, was it? It was
just some kind of future clone. Yeah. Alien 3, yeah. All right.
Well,
but Aliens. Yeah, Ellen Ripley, for sure.
Aliens was also a cultural watershed, because, dude, she was nominated for an Oscar for that. And, like, you know, the Academy, when the hell would they ever acknowledge and award an actress who was in a sci-fi horror film? Right? The actresses are usually like
horror
films.
Horror.
Yeah. And, you know. Yeah, she
not a horror film. Horror.
Horror film. Horror sci-fi, yeah. A lot of people forget she was nominated for an Oscar for that, and well deserved.
Yeah, it hasn't happened since, I don't think.
No.
She should have been nominated for Ghostbusters.
Amen, brother.
She was good in that movie. Oh, she's a great actress. Yeah. She really is, yeah.
Okay, and so just real quick, hold on to your horses and seats over here.
Okay.
I've never watched Aliens.
Really?
Whoa!
And
our guest has left. Good night, everyone.
Wow.
Good night.
Wow.
I know the name.
Game over, man! Podcast over!
The heck?
And it's Three Amigos.
Again,
it's good to not be that guy right now. I can understand Doctor Who, but this is uncalled for.
Everybody talks about it. It's one of those things where everybody talks about it. Everybody says it's great.
It still holds up, man.
And,
you
know,
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe that will be the next an episode down the line.
I envy you in a way, because when you do watch it, oh man, you're gonna be blown away. It is.
Do you need a montage sequence to Hearts on Fire to watch that movie?
I think so. Like, is there? If you tell me,
there's no montage in Aliens.
There is no montage in Aliens.
Okay, there you go.
There's
a giant mech, it turns out.
There's a power loader.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's guns.
That's the thing. I've seen
tons of guns.
I've heard about it. People have referenced it so much, but I've never actually watched it.
The thing is, if you watch Aliens, the thing, and you see certain like newer films like take stuff from Aliens. Like whenever they show like a bunch of cameras, and all of a sudden all the cameras like start disappearing. That was from Aliens. You know, whenever you hear like a beeping noise,
tracking, motion tracking,
that's from Aliens. I mean, you know, and then this whole like big monster like thing at the end where that you keep building up to. I mean, with like an army to a big monster at the end.
That's Contra.
Yeah. Well, Contra.
Contra
was Aliens.
It's very evocative.
Yeah.
It came out right 88.
Does she jump around? Shooting like for power ups or anything?
Kind of. Kind of.
Somersault.
Kind of, man.
Yeah, some of the weapons.
The weapons.
The weapons
look good.
Like, you know, the weapons in Contra.
Yeah,
saying. Yeah, totally.
Lasers are still the worst. Sorry.
Yeah, Alan?
Okay, Des, that's two things. You gotta get a smoker and you gotta watch Aliens.
There's
gonna be a combo episode.
Yeah. One more.
One more hero?
Yeah.
Is that what we're on? Oh, gosh. Well, let me explain then the whole, like, why I chose the predictable Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, you know, like Trinity. And, you know, a lot of that is common knowledge. But, because when you're talking about pop culture, this is what I was thinking of. Okay, I'm thinking about comics, I'm thinking about radio, I'm thinking about film, TV and animation, and of course now video games. And I think historically those three characters have planted flags in all of those like realms of pop culture, and they set the foundation, because like the first comic books in magazine form, they weren't the superhero comic books that we know today. They were just collections of funny papers of comic strips. So the first breakthrough hero to have his own cohesive magazine, it was Superman. And you know, Superman is science fiction. After him came Batman. Batman was crime fiction and film noir. Wonder Woman is fantasy and mythology. They literally follow one after the other. You know, Superman 38, Batman 39, Wonder Woman 41.
Enrique Iglesias 42.
And, I'm still supporting your Iglesias.
He's still supporting your Iglesias.
Enrique Iglesias.
Iglesias needed me, Ricky.
Well, Superman, he's obviously, he's a science fiction hero, and he's very couched in Judeo-Christian theme. You know, the two creators of Superman were Orthodox Jews, and Superman's story totally parallels the story of Moses. It's the same story. So many superheroes are couched in atomic era science fiction. You know, so most of the Marvel heroes, all of them great, are kind of couched in science fiction. Batman is the mortal non-superhero vigilante, and even though he was preceded by heroes like Zorro and the Shadow, Batman planted the flag. I mean, like, Batman's like spiritual heirs are like Dirty Harry and the Punisher, right?
Yeah.
And then Wonder Woman was actually preceded by, I think, I'd have to look into this, I think actually Namor the Submariner was probably the first superhero couched in mythology, but Wonder Woman was the one who really planted that flag. She's, you know, the goddess, the daughter of Hippolyta and all that kind of stuff. She's also the first woman hero, blah, blah, blah.
Created by a man.
Yeah, created by a man who wanted to appeal to, you know, girl audience. That was his twist, you know, like comics are for boys. Let's see if we could bring girls into the audience. So again, in terms of comics, they planted the flag. In terms of radio serials, they more so Superman and Batman, they planted the flag. And a lot of what we know about Superman and Batman, it actually came from the radio serials, not so much the comics. You know, like
right.
Kryptonite actually came from the radio serials. Lex Luthor came from the radio serials.
Jimmy Olsen was also from that.
That's, yeah, yeah, he was a character that got added on in the radio
good job,
serials.
Zack Snyder.
And
I was going to go off a tangent on your Judeo-Christian, how the modern media people are just like kind of heavy-handed on the whole Christian imagery on that whole thing. It's like, we get it. Superman.
Oh, yeah, and they like literally push it in your
okay,
face with everything and all
that
kind of
exactly.
stuff.
All
right. Which is cool, but you know, it's kind of hidden on the head. Personally, for me, Batman is always. Hey, obviously, everyone who knows me knows that Batman is kind of like my, you know, my patron saint. I never get into the debate over which universe is better or whatever. I don't care. All I care about is a good story that moves me and a really good emotional experience. I think for me, the reason why Batman is my primary patron saint is, if you look at his history, I think he's, 9 times out of 10, he's always worked. I mean, when he's campy as Adam West, I love it. You know, when he's dark and brooding as the Frank Miller postmodern reincarnation, it works. And
how about the nipple suit? Does that count?
George Clooney did not work.
I cannot watch Batman and Robin all the way through. I think
that's the one
bit of a
ten.
Travesty. Yeah. But I actually liked Batman Forever when
I like Val Kilmer, man.
Yeah,
it
works.
Kidman.
Yeah,
and Jim Carrey up in that.
It was more Batman-y than even the Tim Burton films, and I love the Tim Burton films and stuff. But well,
Bond
Batman
the Dragon
for me,
Wilson in that one.
Okay, so here's a quick breakdown before we move on to the next topic about me. So, like, Batman planted a flag, obviously in the comics, you know, in his origin comics. And Golden Age comics, and later on with, you know, the Frank Miller revolution and all that kind of stuff. He also planted a flag in the radio serials. You know, after Superman, the Batman radio serials spread awareness of superhero cultures back in the 30s and 40s. The film serials, you know, the first live-action, like, superhero films. Captain Marvel was actually the first, but his serials didn't do very well. It was actually Superman and Batman, the movie serials, that really took off. And made, you know, their knowledge of them.
Have you ever eaten Batman cereal?
I think I did. The Tim Burton 89 Batman cereal. Yeah, Bat Puffs. Yeah. Also, like TV, like George Reeves, Adam West, Linda Carter, mm-hmm. iconic. Animation, Super Friends, the Batman Superman JLA animated series, they definitely planted a flag there. Obviously, the feature-length blockbuster movies directed by Richard Donner, Tim Burton, Nolan, and now Patty Jenkins or whatever. And even the video games. I mean, like... Yeah.
Definitely Arkham Asylum.
Oh, hell yeah.
That whole Arkham series, bro. Ruined my social life.
Like, in my head...
Oh, yeah.
In my head, Batman now has a sonar, like...
Exactly.
That's what I mean.
You know?
Not gonna lie, All I did at work today was watch the movie cutscenes of Arkham and Arkham City. Yeah,
they're great.
So well made.
And remembering
written by Paul Dini, Kevin Conroy, and Mark Hamill. You could just watch the cutscenes and be entertained.
That's all I needed, dude. Yeah. But it was like 2 hours each movie, and I was like, you know what? I got 8 hours of work today. I'm gonna kill four of them.
The first time I beat Arkham City, I was like speechless. I'm like, a video game is not supposed to make me feel this way.
You know, what?
Is that the one where Joker like throwing?
Yeah, spoiler alert! Your Joker dies at the end, but it's such a great story arc written by Paul Dini, the mastermind of Batman the Animated Series.
I just like beating that game, but at the end, of it said I'm only at 35%, like fighting stuff.
Yeah.
You gotta get every
Riddler puzzle. Did you watch Bat manga? The anime, the Japanese.
No, not yet.
We'll watch Aliens and then the Bat manga.
That's pretty good. It's just popcorn fun. It's pretty good.
I love, by the way, that Lewis went manga.
Is it Bat manga or Bat manga? Or manga.
Batman.
One last quick thing about Batman and why he's always had this profound impact on me. You know, on a personal note, Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman are, first of all, they're so iconic that you could visit any foreign country and show like the bat symbol, and they don't know what that is. You know, for
Transylvania.
Except for Pennsylvania. One of my fondest.
Magellan's good.
One of my fondest Batman memories involves an old friend who actually Mooney knows, Uncle Sam, Lucas. Yeah, he was the former president of the Filipino American National Historical Society. He was born in the late 30s. He's a member of the bridge generation between the Manong generation, Filipino Americans right here. But one of my conversations with Uncle Sam was that we were talking about Batman comics. Like, he was driving me to a Fonz meeting. I was carpooling with him, and I was reading my copy of The Long Halloween. You know, and I'm all pouring into it and stuff, and it's quiet. And Uncle Sam's like, "What do you read to there?" And like, "Oh, it's a Batman book." And he was born in the late 30s, so he was totally shocked. He's like, "Batman? Like, you actually read Batman comics?" I was like, "Yeah, they're great." And I'm holding this beautiful, like, looking like trade paperback with fancy paper and stuff. And you know, Uncle Sam's looking at it like, "Oh my God, this is amazing." I was like, "You know Batman, right?" It's like, "Oh hell yeah." You know, I read Batman comics as a kid. I loved Batman and Captain Marvel. So by the time we got to his brother, Phil Ventura's house, you know, they're in their 70s. They grew up in the 30s and 40s in the Valley. And it's like, you know, this kid reads Batman and Captain Marvel. And it was just this great bonding thing. You know, these gentlemen who grew up during the Depression and during World War II, Batman was their hero too, and they happened to be Filipino American like me. So there's always that memory.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm sorry. I think the best Batman on film, I think you'll agree with me, Joy De Leon.
We gotta have a petition to take that way, incarnation. It has to be canon.
Since this
we
is
have
a
to canonize.
Since this is a podcast, Mooney was pointing straight at me, and I.
Sorry.
Unfortunately, I had to admit that he was correct.
Yes.
I co-signed
that. For those of you who have not witnessed the great cinematic masterpiece of Alias Batman and Robin, starring Joey De Leon.
How do you spell Robin?
It's an amazing cross.
N-Y?
There's no H.
You guys need to watch it. It's great. It ranks up there with like Sticks of Death.
And it works! Technically, it's a Batman story, and it works.
You know what? And you know when he was at the Batcave, you know the drink that he offered his guests? Salabat.
Nine times out of 10, Batman stories will work, mm-hmm. except for Batman and Robin, so yeah.
Has there ever been a Batman Zorro team up? Because
I think there might have been.
Because
I know there's been a Batman Shadow.
If nobody has ever done it, shame on them.
Get the writing.
No, there might have been. I think there might have been there might have been.
We will have to. There's
one deep cuts detail. I don't know how many people notice it. And the Dark Knight Returns after the atomic strike, and you know Gotham is in a perennial blackout. When Batman comes riding in on the horse, that's a nod to Zorro. I don't know. That's my interpretation. Earlier in the book, when he has his PTSD flashback, what is it? He has flashbacks of the night that he saw Zorro with his parents.
That's true.
Yeah. And then at the very end of the story, book 4, he literally has become Zorro. You know, an analog hero on a horse. getting people together and all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Speaking of Zorro, has anyone seen the movie Zorro the Gay Blade?
Yes.
Oh yeah, Hamilton, right?
Yes. That's an awesome film.
That's a funny movie.
I'm sad that that never shows on like HBO. Dude, or
it shows like on Comedy Central. Like,
he whips
once in a
the
while.
That's his flaming, like, twin brother.
Yeah, in the pink. Yes. In the pink domino mask. Now, yeah.
George Hamilton at his
funny
best.
Movie.
Brenda Vaccaro. Amazing film.
Okay, so we are going to use
Zorro
the Gay Blade as our jumping point here. You know, we were expecting to be able to do an episode where we're going to do both villains and heroes, but definitely there's a lot of emotion, there's a lot of passion for our heroes, so who knows, maybe next week we will do our villain episode, because as we said, villains are oftentimes a little bit more fun and entertaining. So that is it for today, as usual.
Okay.
You know, we always try to plug it because nobody actually listens to our podcast.
I listen to it.
You know, if you want to, you can go to twofanboysofonecasual.com. We have our casual. We have our articles every so often.
I read the articles.
Okay. And Lewis?
And Facebook.
I'm the only one that makes comments.
Much appreciated.
So on Facebook, we are Two Fanboys and a Filthy Casual. Just enter our name in the search box. Like our page, follow us, and like Dennis mentioned, we'll send links to the podcast, any other articles or pictures, any other stuff that we find interesting on the internet, we will share there.
And don't forget, on our Twitter and Instagram accounts are both Two Fanboys, One Casual, and you can find us on both iTunes and Google Play.
And so, you know, today, great episode, and really want to thank our two guests today. We have Mooney, and we have Alan. Really appreciate, hopefully, we can convince you to come back next week, and who knows, maybe you'll be part of our villains episode. So, thank you again.
Cool.
Thank you, guys.
That's
signing out from Chatsworth, California.
That's where we are.
Oh, sorry.
Pacoima, North Hills, Long Beach.
We talked about dinner already, though.
Signing out.
The Karate Kid episode, we're like,
signing out from
Okay, that is it for us today. Two Fanboys and Filthy Casual. For the first time, this is Dennis.
This is Lewis. You confused me.
Harold.
And Alan Hill.
That's it. Signing out.